Isn't it awesome to just stand in His presence? Surprise. Oh, I've got nothing left. People, isn't God amazing? Isn't it just like, do you know what a privilege it is to be able to have moments like this? We can actually stand in the presence of God and where we can sing a song like, God, come manifest yourself. Do you know what that means? Manifest. I actually initially didn't want to do that song because the word manifest, always when we talk about manifest, it's usually something demonic, isn't it? Isn't like if somebody manifests. But should we not manifest the presence of God? You know, should we not be so full of His presence that we actually manifest that? So I did prepare something, but I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say. it's going to, a rocky road, maybe, who knows. I had something on my heart, actually, and I've had it for quite a few weeks, quite a few months, actually. I see we've a lot of congregations here, but was it just two? How many more? Have we got more? Okay, however, welcome. But this word that I've got this evening, it isn't directional just specifically to this congregation. It's specific to you and to where God's planted you, and where God wants you to grow, and where God wants you to build. So the first Sunday when we came in, we were in Durbanville AM for about 13 years, and then God relocated us here, just like I could sleep later in the morning and come and worship with these beautiful people a little bit later in the day. And one of the first words, I think it's probably the first word that was brought when we walked into the door. Somebody, I don't even know, was it you, Abby? I don't know. Somebody gave it to Abby, so Abby can testify. And there was this idea of foundations being dug out. And so this thing has been in my head all the time because I know what foundations look like. I've built a house. Not myself. I instructed other people to do it because I have limited skills in that I don't dig that much, you know. So I've been reflecting on this concept for a while, on this foundation thing, and why did God say that? Because is digging up a foundation the point of digging up a foundation? What is the point of digging up a foundation? I'll ask you the question now, you can think about it. So some of you might that know, but I'm actually a graduated art historian. I've got a degree in visual arts. And part of our course was Egyptology and archaeology. Some kind of thing where we dig up things. And then what we do is, from the stuff that we've dug up, you can read stuff that people in the past have done. Not in letters, but you can see like, oh, these are the pots they have, and then they can scratch it and say what was in the pot. So they can actually use archaeology to study things from the past. So just so that you know, I have got a fat interest in this thing. It's not the only fat thing I've got, though. But so when you walked onto the premises here, what did you notice something going on in the parking lot, or were you fighting so hard with your other person that you didn't notice what was happening? Nobody ever fights before church. That just doesn't happen. It's a myth, eh? So what's going on what's going on over here? Who can tell me? They're building. So I've frequently in my life seen that when something physical happens, it's very frequent that God is also working that same thing in the spirit. Has anybody noticed that before? You see, like, you know, yeah, things are happening around you. Like, I can't think of an example now. I've got too many notes. But It's frequently like that when we see things. If you see, after there was a tsunami, can you remember everybody was prophesying about a spiritual tsunami that was going to come? And it did come in certain places. Hopefully didn't kill too many people like this, a real one did. But there is sometimes that thing when the natural precedes something that happens in the spiritual. So we've got building going on here. Now, let me just see if I've got something in my notes. Connie, can you please put up a slide? Okay. All right, just that one. Okay, so that's what's happening around us here. It's just on the other side of this wall. Okay, can you do another slide? Right, so the first thing is, why dig? Who can tell me why would we want to dig up a foundation? It's a silly question, really. Yes. To lay a new one, that's a good answer. Another. Why would we dig up a foundation? Yeah. To have a solid thing to build on, yes, that is correct. More, why would we dig up? Yes. Without a foundation, okay, without the foundation, the house that you build is going to collapse. But okay, so let's, the slides won't work out the way my head's going now. You think Brett is the Makar, you must see what's going on in here. So let me lead the question better. So there's a foundation, there's a piece of ground, and we're going to dig it up. So we're going to dig it up to build on that. Is that what we're going to do? Is that going to work? Okay, so think a little bit further. They're enlarging the building, but say, for instance, I go to a place where there was a building, and there is no longer a building, and I want to dig up a foundation, because that's what God said. He said there was a building, and some of it's become a bit dilapidated, and some of it's a bit under the ground, so we need to, digging up means we need to open it up. Okay, you got that. Why do we want to open it up, to look at it? We can all gather on Sundays and go and look at some ruins in the ground. Is that what we want to do? So we've already got some ideas that we want to build on it. But what needs to happen before then? Yeah, you need to see what's going on. And yes, you have to take out some stuff. Because in a lot of our lives, we have got a lot of foundation. And if somebody's going to open up your foundation, well, that didn't sound right. But if somebody's going to open up what it is that you've built, some of us have just got piles of rocks inside there. You can't build on that. What's going to happen? Yeah, uncomfortable things will occur. So why would we dig up foundations? So there are some spiritual things that I wrote down quickly, and it looks like a lot of pages, but I'm going to go quite fast. I know I do speak very fast, but you get double the amount of information in the same time. If you lose me, just stick up your hand or set yourself on fire or something and just get my attention and I'll slow down something. So the reasons why we are spiritually digging up here is what? Number one, God is leading us to do so prophetically. Do you agree with that? Or do you think it's just me that's not getting enough sleep? God is leading us. All right. He's wanting us to move in a greater revelation of Him. That's why. Otherwise, why would we bother? Then we can just go back to a tent or do something else outside there on the lawn or something. Without this, I need spectacles. This is what my problem is. Where did I put them? Let me just see if I can find them somewhere. Oh, maybe they are there. See, I can't see them. There they are. I was just going to scream, has anybody got a +2 for me? Right. So there's a lot of stuff that holds us back from building proper proper structures. I'm going to go through the foundation thing quickly. So just hang in there because I actually want to get to something else. Right, which you can guess what it is now. Jesus wants us to build a structure by His Holy Spirit that will see the lost come to Jesus. And I'm not talking about this building, I'm talking about you. And you, and you, and you. Okay. So He's challenging us to grow, to be more like Jesus, and to rebuild the ruins of the church that He desires to find when He returns. That's something that I really felt the Lord say. He's desiring for us, wherever you are planted, to be part of rebuilding the ruins of the church that He desires to see when He returns. And it's not a surface level cosmetic challenge. God is doing a deep foundational work, and He said He's going to do it. And a lot of you are feeling your foundations are being a bit dug up. Must I ask for a show of hands, or rather not? Yeah, well, it's just me. God's digging my foundations. So I'm happy to be standing here because my foundations are being plowed. So it all starts with digging. All right. So can I have another slide? Why dig? Who dig? Who dig? Who must dig? Who has foundations that needs to be opened up? Anyone? Okay, that is the correct answer, everyone. Yes. It's like, yeah, you sit in a classroom. I'm a teacher during the day, but then I usually teach from a different type of textbook, so it's a little bit easier than this. But anyway, because here I'm trying to deliver this deep spiritual concept without making it too serious, because it's very serious. And that's the funny thing about it, which is not funny. Anyway, just, yeah. None of us are exempt. So if you thought happy digging, everyone, welcome home, because you're all going to dig. All right, so we need to dig. At some point, something in your life will happen that will shake your faith, your thinking, your relationships, and even your identity. Okay, ChatGPT came up with that. I asked it, like, what would be like a super powerful thing to say to these people? And it said this. I was amazed, and I thought, like, God uses a donkey, so you can use ChatGPT. But I'll tell you, the rest of the preach comes from me, okay? So it was just this one line. It's going to shake your faith, your thinking, your relationships. And how amazing is it that God this evening was already talking about faith being stirred, faith being shaken. So I think God's saying something. All right. Relationships. There's a lot of us sitting here that have got problems in relationships, marital friendships, families, siblings, you name it. Why? I actually said this to my son the other day. Why would the devil want to put a wedge between two people? Why do you think he does that? I need a clever answer here. Why would the devil come and purposely say, for instance, Donnie and myself, why would he make gossip or something so that the two of us have got something against each other? Why would he bother? He wants to make you poor. Yeah, well, that is right, y'all. Not in terms of money necessarily, but you're poor. That's correct. What more? Yes. Okay, you can get an A. You can get an A. Right. Hold on. But yeah, put back the spectacles. Yes. You can get an A plus. Do you know that if I've seen this in my life too many times, at the moment when you are physically aware that Satan is putting a wedge between people, it's probably because there's a potential. There's probably potential that God wants to do something with that relationship. So check it out. If you and your husband are looking at each other in unloving ways, there's probably potential in your house. Somebody say, like in the old Baptist church, there used to always be a lady that if I'm going a bit puffed, it's like, oh, help him, Lord Jesus. So we had some of that, yeah. So some of us are in seasons. But while you are being shaken, right, we focus very much on the shakenness and the shaking, right? And what I felt the Lord say to us, what is he revealing beneath the surface while you're being shaken? All right. So I'm going to put up a verse. Thank you. Right. So the Bible is actually full of rebuilding stuff. So, I mean, this is very clever. I even have a verse. So in Isaiah, it's prophesied your people will rebuild ancient ruins. Okay, so there's a prophecy. In this one, Nehemiah, you guys know this part. The Babylonians took over Jerusalem and burnt the place to the ground. I think it was 600 BC. And then about 444 before Christ, after about 140 years, Nehemiah went back there and saw the city in ruins. And they actually spoke about that it seems like a disgrace to the nations that the city is like that, 140 years. There's no halanka. So it must have been quite bad. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. So they rebuilt the entire wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. And when I read that scripture, I thought like, okay, mic drop, let's go home. You must get this. Okay. Because it has been done by the help of our God. What I loved about this scripture was when our enemies heard about this, the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence. May it be so unto Satan and his demonic forces. When the kingdom of God is busy advancing and when the house of God is being built and you are building well, may it be so that the enemy becomes afraid. What's he going to do when he gets afraid? He attacks you more. All right, that's what happens. So there's the story of Nehemiah. What they did is they asked every man, every household, to just rebuild the piece in front of their own house. So you didn't take responsibility for everything. You just took responsibility for the little bit. Okay, so let's quickly see this one. So that's a prophetic picture. God wants to make us rebuilders. So I just quickly want to go back a little bit. About the natural process of excavation. Excavation is the fancy word for when you dig things up. So before we get to building the city, I'm just going to quickly backtrack quickly into the spiritual significance of digging things up. Are you still with me? If you feel like a nap, about 3 minutes longer, then there's a little of a soft spot that you can take. I'll tell you when you can take a nap. All right. All right. So the natural processes of excavation. Can you do another slide for me, please? That's what it usually looks like when they find something. Now, how are they going to find something? Archaeologists, I shouldn't have taken so much cough syrup before I came. I didn't take cough syrup, I'm just joking. I'm preaching under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's a different type of spirit. Yeah. So how would an archaeologist know where to go and look for a ruin? Either somebody will find a map, or they will hear, there will be an ancient text, or somebody would tell a story. And this one actually got me quite excited. Very frequently when there are natural disasters like earthquakes or floods and stuff like that, it actually washes up and washes open things that are in the ground. So they do that. So natural disasters can expose. For some of us, our relationships feel like natural disasters at the moment. Or your finances feels like a natural disaster. Or your siblings or your friends sounds like a natural, your career sounds like an, or feels like a natural disaster. I can see on your faces that some are testifying to some form of natural disaster occurring in your life at the moment. But look, what is God exposing? What is it that he wants to do? Right, so what we need to do next. So we've got this. We come across a site. Next. To excavate, we need to find the ruin. You brilliant, Connie. That was a clue because she's musical. You need to find a ruin, and then you need to dig it up. I wanted to go whoosh, 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 but I didn't think it would work on this computer. And then you need to obviously remove the rubble. You can't just, what I said in the beginning, you can't just dig something up and build a new thing on top of it because it ain't going to last. All right. So the first thing, let's see if there's another slide. So find the ruin, we just do that. That's what it looks like when they start digging something up. There's another digging up. Right. So can you see, we can see there's a foundation there, but are you going to build something on that? No, we can't. So when we're digging something up, a few quick things, I'm just going to run through it. You can't do it alone. If you're going to try and dig that thing up alone, you'll be dead of age by the time you get past the first layer. You need a team. You need people around you, right? It's messy. It's sometimes slow. It can become boring. And you have to keep at it until everything is exposed. So you can become a little bit despondent sometimes. I think you guys seem fairly intelligent this evening, so you can catch it in the spirit as well. I don't have to, you know, otherwise, you know, I don't want to explain the obvious thing. So if it's like that in the natural, it's the same. You can't do it alone. You can't dig up alone. Right. What was the other thing? You can't what? Dig, diggy, diggy, what? It's messy. Sometimes it's messy people to dig up. But it's necessary because you can't build on a pile of that rocks. It's not going to work. It's messy, and you can sometimes become really... I mean, I've got friends here, we've got people that we've known that have been journeying for years with the Lord, and you really sometimes feel even despondent, and sometimes it feels like it's the same old that comes back again, but then you press through again with people, because it has to be completely exposed. Right, there we go. So, let's see here, we dig it up. Then we need to remove the rubble before doing anything on the foundation. Rubble must be cleared, and often there must be an investigation to see if that foundation is strong enough again. Because we can't just build on anything. They need to check it. And sometimes the foundation needs to be left, and sometimes it needs to be taken out and a new one put, and sometimes they can build on top. All right. So I've done... what's a ruin? I've said all these things. That's fantastic. Yeah, things of faith. Yeah, done that. Yeah. Do you think that God sometimes allows us to come apart a little bit? And there's a very important thing. When something in your life happens and something is bad, and I'm talking about the shaking part. Ons gaat nou bou by net vas. All right, when something bad is happening, you need to discern, because it comes from one of three places. It's either Satan, okay, that's testing you or like doing nasty stuff, or it's God trying to expose something so that you can get to a next level. But surprise, there's a third place where it can come from. Yourself. You know how much blame Satan gets for stuff that you choose to do yourself? It's like, lead me not into temptation. I'll walk there myself. You see? So you need to first of all discern. Because if it's destructive, it's probably Satan. God is always going to work redemptive. So when things are going to be exposed in your life, or things are going to be made open, or foundations are going to be clear out, if it's God working, it's going to be redemptive. And there's going to be people around you that can actually help you dig and help you rebuild. Okay? And don't be silly. Ek wou gesê it's stupid, maar ek gaan nie. Don't do stuff to yourself. And if it's yourself, stop it, man. Because you know, sometimes we are just too stubborn. And you actually know what to do. And other people also tell you what to do. Manier is die duivel. Hy toets my. Sometimes you just need to stop it. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to us. Okay. So, yeah, we are parts of your things in your life. I've spoken about faith, marriage, identity. What's broken beneath? I've said that. Dig it up. You can't dig it yourself. You need to also let go of your pride if you want something to be exposed. Joch, it is three books worth of material, die. Yeah. When it gets by intelligence, I had a lot of thoughts. I hoped you wouldn't laugh at that one. Anyway, no, I'm just joking. I'm averagely intelligent, but we make the best of what we can. So pride is not going to be able to be in the way. It's going to be messy sometimes. But God's grace, I love this line. It came from somewhere also. God's grace meets you in the dirt. It's just another preach, isn't it? Grace so lekker. Yeah. God's grace meets you in the dirt. And that's where he comes and ministers to you with faith. Because you need faith to get through this whole process. Removing the rubble is a faith thing. You need to give up and let God do the work. Why? Why do you think we need to do? Yeah, we want to build. But what is past building? What's on the other side? Yil ani einde. What's there? Purpose. But further than that, past all the building and natural things here. Eternity. You can get full marks. Yeah, plus, plus, plus. We need to keep our eyes on the eternal reward, which makes the discomfort that we go through here in the digging up and rebuilding process, it makes it very, very small when you're thinking of eternal reward. And not just for you, for me, for everyone, and for those that are still coming. Because why do we need a house if it's just the three of us living there? We need a big house so that God can bring more people, right? We don't want to look at foundations. We want to rebuild. And this is where I actually want to start. So that was my introduction. The old evangelists would say something. Oh, somebody take down the clock at the back and put up a calendar. Yeah, I'll be done soon. But God won't. Right. So God removes what will be in the way of the new structure that he's got planned. All right. Then this one actually hit me quite hard in the process. Not everything should be rebuilt. Sometimes there are things that should be left dead. And I'm talking about your relationships. Okay. Sometimes there are old memories, old things. Yes, we used to do it like that, or that is the past, or this was my identity, or whatever. Sometimes those foundations should be left dead. Move on, find a new piece of ground, and build there. All right. When God says rebuild, now this one, I want to take my spectacles off and I want to look you all in the eye. When God says move, you better move. It seems to me in the spirit like the seasons are becoming shorter and shorter, and the areas of grace are becoming smaller and smaller. When God says move, you better move. Otherwise, you're going to get left behind. And somebody else is going to be digging, and you're going to be saying, oh, that's a nice house. And then one day you think like, oh, but I wasn't invited. Right. I know there's a lot of little things, but I just feel in my spirit that whatever needs to stick in your head and in your heart, God will let that stick. All right. So, all right, how do we build? First of all, there must be another slide some other time. Yeah, that. On time. So what do we need to build? We need a plan, we need a foundation, and then after the foundation, we're going to start building, so we need a cornerstone. So some of you, these are not new verses. I think there might be very little that I'm saying to you tonight that is new to you, but that's not the point. New isn't the point. God, by Spirit, is the point. So first of all, plan. We want to plan us, and we want to control the process. Is that so? You want to control the process of your life. I mean, if I can refer to Connie, I mean, she would want to control her finances and say, this is what I'm going to get in this. So she doesn't get to do that. Why? Because the grant architect had a plan so that Connie could stand here tonight and actually minister to you and to me to actually encourage our faith. Okay. So I'm so sorry that you had to go through that so that you can come and minister to us. But that's how it goes. That's the family, you see. And next, tomorrow, you might have something that you can share. Okay, so plan. The plan we need to get is from the grant architect. The plan. It's a very simple one. I'm not going to ponder on it too long. Because you know what? God sees the big design. He sees out of time. He sees eternity. So he knows what's going to happen. And you know what? Big surprise. You're not in control anyway. We don't like that. Okay, because if you have given your life to Jesus, you're not in control anyway, and still we want to control it. It's like if Marie's driving the car and I put my hand on the steering wheel and I want to control it. I can't because she's driving. You see, we don't do that. Yeah, luckily. I usually drive. She wants to because I've got me a feisty woman. Yeah, going places. Thank you, Jesus. So, if you want to build, okay, we've spoken about foundations now. Did you know that the bigger the building is, the deeper the foundation needs to go? It's like when I was younger, somebody said, my boy, you will see the great revival in your life, but you know, it's like an elephant baby. It's pregnant for much longer than a mouse. Because a mouse, I think, takes about 2 weeks to poop, to pop. Why? Who did it? I was going to say to poop out a lot of spawnlings, but it didn't work quite well. Julle, ek is Afrikaans spreekend, so as ek per ongeluk iets lelik sê, ek is regtig ek repent, jammer. So it's going to bring forth loads of spawnlings, a mouse, in 2 weeks. But the elephant has got 2 years or something like that before that thing gets born, but it's a bigger baby. Okay. So, luckily, it's not like that with humans. But it is like that sometimes God has to dig deeper in your life because the structure is going to be bigger. And this is not just like motivational speaking, because it should motivate you anyway. But what are you preparing for? A hut or a temple? Let's go home. So, a hut or a temple? There is some building over here. You can see the foundation. And now when they've put the foundations next to there, can you show me the next slide, please? There is, I think it's on the west side of Jerusalem. That's actually the physical cornerstone. So what a cornerstone does, for those of you that don't know, because I think most of you would have done this, when the grand architect has decided this is where the building is going to go, somebody comes, it's usually a very important person because it's a very important thing, and they would come and they would put a brick. So everyone says, oh, I brought a brick. You're a brick. So I would decide the building's going to go over here. So I put that brick down there. That's the brick. So whoever wants to build needs to build from this reference point. So if I decide I'm going to start building some stuff over here, what's going to happen? More or less nothing. And sometimes in our lives we think, oh, there's Christ, the cornerstone. There's the church. There's the blueprint that God's given. That's where the family is going. But I'm going to build over here because I don't quite like where they put it. I don't like the flavor, I don't like the worship, I don't like whatever it is that you don't like. Do you know that this is all for God, it's not for you, by the way? Just saying. So we don't get to pick where I want to build. You can build, but build what? A pile of rubble, right? So the first stone, without this, nobody will know where to build, and there will be random structures, and I wrote here, with no function. It means that your little pile of rubble there will become nothing. So there is that verse, everybody knows this, Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that all of what we do is built on. Okay, we know that verse. If Christ isn't the constant focus and the point of your reference, none of your structures will stand. And with structures, I'm talking about relationships, I'm talking about ministry, I'm talking about marriages, faiths, finances, all those things. Christ needs to be the focus. Okay, right, so now, this is, for example, klar. So, okay, so those of you that took a nap, focus. So, here is the bricks and rocks. So, I actually went to go and look like, all right, how would we build and what would we build with? And I came across an extremely exciting thing that made me extremely excited, and I hope you will also be excited after this. And then I thought, almost this preacher's almost going to be called something fancy like pebbles, stones, rocks, bricks, and whatever else. But I actually went to go and Google if bricks are ever mentioned in the Bible, because I thought, like, it's quite, well, rocks, we all know. There's, I mean, do you want to play a game? Like, who can tell me, like, where are rocks, what rocks are all mentioned in the Bible? Let's play a game quickly, 3 minutes. Rock. Throw yourself on the rock, yes. More. The rocks will cry out if you don't worship, yeah? It's the remembrance stones, yeah. The remembrance stones are in Joshua when they came through the river, and the Lord said to Joshua they should pile up 12 stones so that every time when the kids and they walk past there, they'll be able to tell the story. So it's a memorial rock, yeah. More.
Say what?
Moses hit the rock, yeah. What went wrong there? God gave him a commandment and he didn't obey it. But Moses got to deal with some other rocks in his lifetime. Which ones were those? Two specific rocks. The what? Yeah, in the cleft of the rock, that's something. There were two other rocks that Moses also had to do something with. He smashed one, or smashed both, and had to go and do it himself. The Ten Commandments were also on rocks. Let's go more. Let me see if I've got a list. Oh, yeah, here it is, biblical examples. Okay, can I give you some more examples? Then we can go faster and get to the juicy stuff. Because this isn't juicy enough yet, is it? Are you challenged already a bit? You should be a little bit, yeah. So Jacob at the ladder, I think it was Bethel, if I'm not mistaken, he actually sleeps and he has that dream, so he anoints that rock. So the rock there speaks spiritually of godly encounters. So I'm talking about things that we can build with. I'm just talking about rocks quickly. The Ten Commandments speaks of God's authority. Then there was the memorial rock. Then there is divine power. If you take the little rock that that David, but slung isn't a word. He slung it in his sling and killed the giant thing. So it's divine power. Then Jesus Christ, Jesus says, you are a rock. He's the rock, the cornerstone. Peter, rock. Judgment, that's quite an interesting one because rocks can also be negative, eh? You can also destruct with a rock. Do you know that when Jesus says, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone or rock? So rocks can also break. It can also break other things. And then obviously the church, he speaks of living stones. I just want to quickly go back. So those are rocks. But then there's this, okay, I brought a rock. When I stopped here this afternoon, I thought like, Lord, should I really share this? It feels so shallow. And then I opened the car and this one rock was lying next to the car. So I said, okay, I'll bring it. So this is a stone, ne? Exhibit A. Ne? And here is a brick. This is a brick. Okay. Who can tell me a few differences between the two? Can you see them? So what? Oh, very clever. It was your mother. Well done, mother. Mama knows best. So there, it is man-made. That is, nature made that. God made that. More. Oh, uniform structure. Organic. Okay, more. It's made with fire, and this is made with a lot of other things. Pressure. So let me tell you something interesting. So bricks in the Bible. I don't think I put that. I did. I'm so clever. So my brother's little boy always says like, oh, I'm such a clever chap. Yeah. So bricks are mentioned in the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. Come, let us make bricks and build ourselves a city. And then again in Egypt, the Egyptians made their lives bitter with labor in brick and mortar. So they had to make bricks. So in example one, at the Tower of Babel, we're looking at concepts like man's pride. I'll do it myself. We're looking at self-reliance and self-control, or not self-control, but control. Human rebellion and ambition and independence from God. I don't need God to make those because they are all uniform, molded, mass-produced, identityless. Is that what we should be? No. They could represent a Christianity of conformity and human building with our own strength and our own ideas. The biblical, when we're talking about these stones over here, these are natural and each one is different. Like us. Ek is 'n groter klip hier as party van julle. Okay, some of us are bigger stones than other people. These, if you want to put them in a building, needs to be chiseled. So they need to be smacked with a chisel and a hammer. You think that's nice? No, because it needs to be shaped, and God shapes us through the word. You know that two-edged sword. Like there are some sharp things in the Bible that cut between stuff so that it can be exposed, removed, and fixed so that it can get to its purpose. Okay, right. And what I loved about this as well was they are hand-chosen by the builders. Not just chosen, but chosen for a specific position. So this specific shape rock is not going to fit anywhere or everywhere. I must have written something intelligent about that as well. Let me just see, is there something? I can think it up myself, I'm sure. And it was about sometimes there's a space and you're not the rock for that space. But, you know, like Cinderella's story, in the original story, she cut off a piece of her foot to fit inside the shoe and all that. And nobody noticed, ne? Yeah. Anyway, so sometimes we want to alter ourselves to fit into specific places. And you also get angry and demotivated when you don't get chosen for a specific space. But if God didn't chisel you and shape you for that space, for goodness sake, do not want it. Because I would not want to be stuck in a, like, you know, what's that thing, like a square peg in a round hole? Does he like any? So you rather want to be positioned where God's perfect plan is for you and what he shaped and created you for. All right. So, do we want to build with brick or do we want to be building with stone? So, it was the most amazing thing. The next slide, please. So I was just, okay, there's the stones. Okay, let's carry on. I've said that. This was to me absolutely amazing. And I'm going to read the whole, just a few verses. And it's very self-explanatory. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It's amazing. I didn't actually plan the worship around this. And how this theme of death and faith, resurrection, rebuilding comes through all the time. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. This is in the Bible in Ephesians. He says, those that are now disobedient, it's the same here. I'm sometimes disobedient. I repent. I'm so sorry. Really, I shouldn't be, and so is everybody else. Right, we miss out. But because of his great love for us, praise God. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that we can't boast. It's God's work. And then those are just a few verses. And then this thing. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. It's all in there. Foundations, cornerstone, households. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become what? A holy temple in the Lord, and in him, and this for me is like what this is about, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So yeah, dig up, yes, rubble, yes, rebuild, cornerstone, all those things. The point of digging up a foundation and what God is wanting us to do is right there in Ephesians 2. Being built on your own, single brick, no. Being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And I think that is the most important part for me. God cannot dwell in a temple that is not made up out of one and togetherness. Okay, there needs to be together. When we are strong, we are stronger when we build together. Now, last week, Marco was so clever, and he had that thing of the three A's. You remember the three? He even gave if you didn't listen to that preach, go listen to it. It's actually really good. He had the three A's. So I thought, I cannot seem like less. So I actually thought up something as well. So you can take something. Look at that. Strong together when we're one. You're not, I know it's a bit corny, but it worked for me. While I was thinking, so you get that. So stone together, building one temple in which the Spirit of God can dwell. In the RGS, they used to say, ek haas my. When the pastor, it means I'm rushing myself to finish, when you could see that the people are starting to doze off. So I'm almost there. It's the last page. So, while contemplating this whole idea of building, God showed me what I believe is a prophetic word. So I'm finished with what I felt to share. But this is a prophetic word that I felt, or an image that I felt God say. And what I saw was a pile of Lego. So I brought a pile of Lego over here. Okay, I saw this picture. And they were all different colors and different shapes, just like us. Okay. Let me just check quickly. There were a few things that became apparent. Some of the blocks were trying to build themselves in, but they can't. Listen carefully. Some were clicking in and clicking out as to whatever was comfortable for them, not committed to being part of the structure. Like, today I feel like it, tomorrow I don't feel like it, clicking in and out. Some tried to fit in spaces that didn't suit their purpose. In other words, you can't put a big block in a small space. I know when we were three, we all tried. I don't know, are you guys all familiar with Lego? I don't want to presume. So, clicking in, clicking out. Some tried to fit in spaces that didn't suit their purpose. Some tried to build their own structures with small little piles of blocks away from the original plan. You know, you get that little book? So if I've got a little booklet and I'm going to build a dinosaur and something, and you've got a little pile of rocks over there, because that's what the picture looked like, away from the plan, it won't succeed. I'm not going to ask the question. It obviously won't succeed. Then this was very interesting. There were some blocks still in the plastic container inside the box that had not decided to become part of the plan. So what's going to happen with the plan when we start building this thing? If you are a block that's still in the plastic bag, some people are so dead, it's like they're in a zipped black plastic bag. You know, like when they take dead people away in a plastic bag? I just thought of that, and it's actually like what the Spirit is saying. Some of us have become dead. You need to be resuscitated in the Spirit even. Okay, but in the plastic bag, you're not going to be part of that. And I actually became quite sad, and this was something that I actually saw, and this, I was really moved by it. I saw quite a few, and I think we spoke about this earlier, two blocks, and there was clay or putty in some of these, and people were trying to put these together. And I'm saying this with much love, and I actually really experienced that these are relationships, marriages, friendships, children and parents. You can't put it together because there's plastic, not plastic, but like gum, you know, like chewing gum. I know when we were small, we used to put clay in there because you thought you could make a mold. And these things cannot click because there's junk in between. Those things need to be cleaned before this is going to work. Because if it's not clean and you try and put that in the structure, the whole structure will flounder eventually. Okay, this is not judgment. This is God's grace. We read it earlier. This moment is God's grace in our lives. Okay, they were supposed to click, but they were full of gummy. So there was in this whole process of all these things, I asked God, what is the main thing? And he said, actually, the main thing is your self-preservation. Everybody wants to be have their own identity. I want to do my thing. Okay, and then I thought, and I sat, wow, and I thought like, so what must we do? What is God asking us tonight to do? Okay, and then thank you, Connie, for the last one. That's God. I didn't think that up. I really felt putting the cross in the Lego, let go. You need to make a decision to let go. Let somebody come dig up, help you dig up, help you remove the rubble. Help you restore, help you remove. Let what's dead remain dead. Then start building from the cornerstone according to the plan that God's given us here. Using not man-made effort, identity-less stuff, but using and building on the rock, with rock, becoming a rock. Okay? And then finding God's perfect plan so that God can build his church. Because we don't build. He builds. Okay, so I hope that was. I really actually enjoyed what God was saying. I hope you enjoyed it also. If you didn't, I don't mind because I did. It was really just such an amazing thing for me. So, what are we going to do now? That'd be great, Penny. Thanks. What are we going to do now? We need to respond. Because it's pointless going out and then you just go outside and think like, oh, I don't like the shape of the coffee cups or whatever. We need to respond. So there are a few things that you can respond to tonight. And I'm going to give you space to do that on your own. All right. And I think I'll just speak to Donnie. But I think what we'll do is I'm going to let you guys take space with the Lord. And then when you are finished with the Lord and you feel like there's something shifted, if you need prayer, I'm going to ask some of our leaders to come to the front. Maybe if you guys can go to that side, those that need prayer. If you need specific prayer into something. Now, I know we said it's a process. So sometimes somebody prays with you and it's like that, and God fixes things. It happens. But sometimes it's a process that you need to commit to. All right. So there are a few things. All right. Let me quickly just see here. Which ones can we do? Number one. Are you afraid to have your ruins dug up and exposed so God can repair and build new foundations? Do you want to surrender? Maybe can I ask you to just close your eyes? There's nothing magical about closing your eyes. It's just, I just want to see, is God moving so that everybody can have the freedom to raise their hands. Can you raise your hands to me if you are afraid to have your ruins dug up and exposed so God can repair it? Can you see, are there any hands? Anybody that feels like I really need the faith of the Lord to be able to go and to dig into things? Are there, just raise your hand quickly. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to see. All right, thank you, everyone. All right, great, great stuff. Well done, thank you. All right, can I ask you to raise your hands if you are building in your own strength with bricks instead of God allowing you God to use you as a living stone? Who of you feel like you're building in your own strength and you actually kind of become fed up with it because you should? Because you're going to not produce anything. Right, thank you so much. Third, are you in the Lego pile, not desiring to be a place where God will dwell and draw others to Him? Are you in the separate little pile? Do you feel, I've separated myself and I need to commit myself to God and His kingdom? You feel separate from the body. You feel separate from what God's doing. Why don't you just raise your hand if that's you? Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for being so honest. And then one of the most important things, if you are here this afternoon and you have not made a decision to accept Jesus as your Savior, and you realize that you can't do this on your own, you need God, you need Jesus, you need His resurrection power in your life, and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior before, won't you just raise your hand? Is there anybody that has not accepted Jesus as their Savior? I'm just going to give a few moments. This is actually quite an amazing moment when you come to the realization that you need Jesus. Is there anybody? Along with that, if anybody is sitting here, and we always want to give this opportunity, that has kind of slid away from the Lord and you realize you're not in the place where you should be. You are not available to be chiseled. You're not available to be placed. And you need to recommit yourself to the Lord. Won't you just raise your hand? I'm just going to give a few seconds. Lord, we are so privileged to be part of your master plan, Lord. We are so privileged to have been handpicked and selected and shaped to be part of your kingdom and part of your temple, part of what it is that you are building, Lord. Lord, and I want to pray for each person that's put up their hand now for whatever it is or any of these things that I mentioned. Holy Spirit, that you will come and indwell us, Lord, and that you will minister to us by your Spirit, in your closeness, that you will stir us faith to take a step forward and to deal with things and to become the church that you are building. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can ask that. So, I'm going to officially close this meeting now. But what I want you guys to do, I want to do something prophetic. There is something called a prophetic action, and sometimes there's nothing weird about this, but sometimes when you walk out and you go and do something physically, your body remembers it and something sticks in your brain. We call that a prophetic action. It's like when somebody in the Bible had to do a specific thing which would symbolize something else. So what I want to do is, I'm going to ask you guys that if you want to, I've put this black block over here, symbolic of the cornerstone Jesus, and I'm going to put this crate of Lego over here, and I want you to, if you feel led to do so, to come and build a block on there next to the cornerstone. Let's build something that will stick in your mind. There was a day where I came, and every time you see Lego from here on, may I ask the Holy Spirit to remind you that you are a stone, a living stone in the building of God, and we need to get ourselves done because we have a little opportunity. All right. So, if you guys would, you are welcome to come and build there. I wanted to put blocks, things everywhere, but that would kind of defeat the purpose. Okay. So that's why I'm saying, come put a block there and then go have coffee and we have some fellowship there. If you need prayer, please will you come to this corner over here. I want to ask the comm leaders and the leaders, the deacons, if you guys would please come and just see if there are people that need specific prayer. Please, if you would just maybe stand with me, then you can respond as God leads you to do so. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace.